Thank you so much. Wonderful worship of music and praise to our Lord. Thank you, Dr. Moeller, for the invitation to be here at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. What a delight and joy to be in your fellowship as always, and especially to be here at chapel service. Some of you knew that I was going to be at chapel service today, and you came anyway, so thank you. I'm grateful for your presence. Dr. Moeller, as soon as my wife and I came on the campus, we were greeted by warm and friendly students, and everyone treated us in such a tremendous fashion, and we've had incredible hospitality on campus, so thank you and all of you students for being such gracious representatives of our Lord Jesus and also of your seminary. This morning, I would love to be able to preach about I'd rather have Jesus. That really is the theme of my life and my testimony. And I sort of feel like Jude when he said that my intent is to write to you about the common salvation, and then he goes off talking about everything else. And so that's primarily what I'm going to do this morning, to call your attention to a subject that I think is very needed in our hour, and that is how we can be together. If you have your Bibles, look in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man may prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Help us that we may have an ear to hear. Holy Spirit of God, speak truth to us today. And when we leave this place, may we have a greater knowledge of your word. May we have a greater sensitivity to you, Holy Spirit, as you speak to us. And may we seek to be obedient in every area. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in this passage of Scripture, Solomon writes about the benefits of friendship. He talks about how that two can accomplish more than one. He illustrates this theme by using a rope. He shows that this rope with three cords or three strands is strong, it is pliable, and it's usable. Now, this proverb teaches the principle of cooperation that extends beyond two people. And I find it very applicable in our case today in the Southern Baptist Convention and as we work together as Baptist churches. Cooperation is affirmed throughout the Scriptures. We find in the New Testament the churches practicing cooperation, working together, having this fraternal or friendship relationship. We see in Acts chapter 15 where the churches come together in a council and they settle some issues concerning doctrinal matters as well as some practical application. The Gentile churches cooperated together in a giving pattern to relieve the saints at Jerusalem who were suffering through a famine at that time. And as we find in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, it could even be somewhat of a forerunner of what we Southern Baptists call the cooperative program. Because churches came together, gave to this budget, and then it was dispersed by the messengers of the churches to the needy ones. Throughout church history, we find examples of churches beginning to cooperate. In 17th century Wales, Baptist churches came together to train ministers, and as the document states, to raise up feeble churches. And we have plenty of feeble churches today that we need to raise up, so that work is still ongoing. We find also that in the 18th century, that associations were formed here in America.
And the purpose primarily was for missionary advance, starting new churches in a new land. But also associations were formed to provide some doctrinal accountability so that there would be a definite understanding of what the churches believed in common. Then in the 19th century, conventions were formed. They were able to come together for the purposes of starting new churches, church planting again, missions and efforts not just in North America, but also beginning around the world as these churches came together in cooperation to do the work. In theological education, to found seminaries, and also, as we know, to help existing churches, and on the state level, to do benevolence work as well as missionary enterprises. Conventions were created by cooperating churches. The Baptist Faith and Message in Article 14 addresses cooperation. Article 14 in the BF&M reads this way: Christ's people should, as occasion requires, organize such associations and conventions as may best secure cooperation for the great objects of the kingdom of God. Such organizations have no authority over one another or over the churches. They are voluntary and advisory bodies designed to elicit, combine, and direct the energies of our people in the most effective manner. Members of the New Testament churches should cooperate with one another in carrying forth the missionary, educational, and benevolent ministries for the extension of Christ's kingdom. Christian unity in the New Testament sense is spiritual harmony and voluntary cooperation for common ends by various groups of Christ's people. Cooperation is in our statement of faith. Dr. Moeller was one of the framers of the 2000 Baptist Faith and Message, and I must confess that I'm such a denominational junkie that I have the BF&M on my iPhone. The Baptist Faith and Message article on cooperation sets forth for us a pattern of what we are to be about as we work in the various churches. The church, the local church, is the primacy in Southern Baptist ministry life. The denomination, state associations, state conventions, and the Southern Baptist Convention are servants to the churches to assist the churches and to coordinate the efforts of the churches by the church's will to accomplish great missionary, benevolent, and educational means. Now, pastors and churches have a plethora of ministry opportunities before them in the 21st century. You can easily go on the internet and find resources from all types of different sources. Affinity groups abound. So what value does an association, a convention, a state convention, or the Southern Baptist Convention have for you in the 21st century? In these friendship principles that are listed by Solomon, I find several values that are applicable to cooperation among Baptists. So let's look at them. The first one is found in verse 9, and that is rewards. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. I hear people say, well, what can a convention do for me? God's work is exponentially increased when we do it together. Working with others, God makes it possible for us to accomplish more than we would alone. Synergy is 1 + 1 = 3. And that's what we find when we work together. The rewards continue to pour out toward us. This is not a new principle. We find Paul writing about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 8. I planted, Apollos watered, God gave growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. So we all have our part, each church doing their part. But yet, as we come together, cooperating, and together, we're able to see much more accomplished than we would if we were doing it as one singular congregation. Joining together makes a greater impact for the cause of Christ. We'll be responsible individually as believers, and our churches will be responsible before the Lord Jesus of what we do individually but also collectively. And I am happy to report to you that the rewards are incalculable. Wade and Deanne Coker have been in Africa for over 20 years. It was my joy to be their pastor. He served as student pastor on my staff. He came forward one Sunday morning and said, "I believe God is calling me to international missions." Through the Southern Baptist Convention International Mission Board, he was sent to Africa. He and his wife and now family that grew up in Africa, children in serving the Lord today, now as adults, and they're still there serving God through the International Mission Board, through our support of the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and the cooperative program. You had a part in their ministry, and the thousands upon thousands of people that have come to Christ, that have matured in Christ, churches that have been started over all of these years, you had a part in it as a Southern Baptist, exponentially extending your ministry. There's an awakening taking place in Quebec right now. David Poitier started a church about 4 years ago in Montreal. That church is now running well over 1,000. And I visited that church, had the privilege to preach in that church. And as I was there, I noted that I was by far, maybe 20 years, the senior adult in the group. It was a huge conclave of young people, millennials that were being reached with the gospel. And through the North American Mission Board and through churches coming together in a partnership with the Southern Baptist of Texas Convention, we were able to see God do an incredible work. Andrew Johnson, a 20-something church planter and church revitalizer, took an old church with 40 elderly white people in a predominantly multi-ethnic neighborhood, and within 2 years began to see a turnaround. And now, 4 years later, that church is running 400 in attendance, and one-third is African-American, one-third Hispanic, and one-third Anglo, all because he had a vision, a burden, and a people were willing to follow. But there were a group of churches that came together and supported him through the Southern Baptist of Texas Convention. Chuy Avalos in El Paso, starting a church planting movement among the Spanish-speaking people of El Paso, reaching an incredibly large city with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then there are you, those of you who are here. Are you a Southern Baptist? Are you a seminary student here? If you are, then there are churches, 2,610 churches of the Southern Baptist of Texas Convention, that support your ministry here. Those that give through the cooperative program are investing in your lives, and they will never see you. And yet one day, when those individual believers and the church as the church of Jesus Christ stands before the Lord Jesus, the rewards will be evident as God has blessed their investment. Together, through the cooperative program, giving, your ministries are multiplied, but only God gets the credit. It's not about Southern Baptist. It's not about an organization. It's about advancing the kingdom of God, and it's a tool that God has given us. And ministry is not just about going. It's about giving. Southern Baptist, for years and years and years, thought, let's let missions be left to the professionals. Don't try this at home. So just send money and we'll take care of it. And now the pendulum has swung to the other direction, and it's all about going, 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 and little about giving. But it's not either or. It's both and, giving and going. Let's look at the second value that we find. We go back to our text, and this principle of friendship is applicable to cooperation in the fact of a rescue. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. People from similar socioeconomic backgrounds can gather together to satisfy their own desires and call it a church. They may want their needs met on their terms. It is a myopic ministry that's so self-absorbed, it's nothing more than a country club with a steeple on top. We're about the rescue business as an individual church, as individual believers. But also collectively, as an association or a state convention or the Southern Baptist Convention, we are about the work of Christ rescuing. Our rescuing goes out to those who are hurting, who are abandoned, and who are grieving. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, the Bible says, "So as you have the opportunity, do good to all, to everyone, especially of the household of faith. Take care of your own and reach out to those who need Christ by doing good." And in this cooperation, we can rescue people. When 9/11 struck, those planes hit those buildings and they came down. Disaster relief with yellow hats and yellow shirts went into New York City. Still in an endangered situation, those people put their lives forth to touch lives that had not heard the gospel. Disaster relief went in after Katrina to help clean up and then to help rebuild. When there was an earthquake in Nepal, the people who were there were Southern Baptist disaster relief workers sent by state conventions all across the Southern Baptist Convention to help the hurting. Wherever there's hurting, there is a disaster relief team on its way or already there. The Southern Baptist Convention has an affiliate known as the Texas Baptist Home for Children. This past year, 40 foster care children in that home found forever homes because of our cooperative work. Working together with that home, we were able to see little lives changed forever because of the gospel impact of being together for the gospel. The Southern Baptist of Texas Convention in Guidestone has a partnership in what we call protection services. Ron Rogers was a faithful pastor serving God in small and rural churches. Ron passed away unexpectedly before retirement. His widow, Patsy, was taken care of because they were a part of this cooperation, working together. And because of this partnership, those protection benefits and his death benefits were able to assist her in her bereavement. The hurting, the abandoned, and the grieving need our help. And as we help others, we help ourselves when we cooperate to provide the rescue, to lift up those who have fallen. And there is no blessing like being a blessing. Notice a third value that we have of being together, found in verse 11. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Now, this is talking about the cold desert night, travelers out there needing to find some way to produce enough body heat to survive. There's nothing sexual here. There's nothing improper here. But I want you to know that if I was one of those travelers and it was that cold and I needed to get that close to someone, there had to be a trust factor. I would want to know something about that person and have some kind of an agreement about that kind of closeness. Well, the same is true in the relationships that we have. In our cooperation, we have an understanding about our relationships. Amos put it this way in the King James Version. He said, "Can two walk together unless they agree?" We must come to some agreements of how we're going to work together in our cooperation so that we can exponentially provide the gospel to our nation, to our region, and to the world. The Baptist Faith and Message is a statement of faith that provides us with an instrument of doctrinal accountability. You cannot sacrifice the truth on the altar of false unity. Safeguarding our institutions is our BF&M. The professors, administrators, the president affirms the Baptist Faith and Message 2000 here at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. All six of our seminaries, all of our missionaries, all of our Southern Baptist entities. And in the Southern Baptist of Texas Convention, we are a confessional fellowship of churches that churches must affirm that they will work within the parameters of the BF&M in order for us to accomplish it. There's great latitude in the BF&M. There's room for five-point Calvinists, six if you can find one. There's room for no-point Calvinists, and there may be no point if you're not some point of a Calvinist. And there's great latitude. And then there's great latitude in eschatology. The BF&M is very vague. It just yet nails down one serious point. Jesus is coming again. So it leaves room for amillennialists and premillennialists and pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, post-tribulation. Now, I'm personally a pre-tribulation rapturist. So if you want to stay, that's fine. I plan to go on when Jesus comes. So there's plenty of room for all of us in the BF&M, but it does provide parameters. It tells us what we are, what we as a group of churches agree to believe about the nature of God, the person of Jesus Christ, the way of salvation, the nature of man, the church, the ordinances, and on, explicitly laid out for us that marriage is between one man and one woman in Article 18, that life begins at conception and ends at natural death. And throughout our Baptist faith and message, it gives us great latitude of interpretations, but it nails down parameters to say that we must believe in order for us to work together. Doctrinal parameters inspire confidence in church planting, revitalization, theological training, church ministry enhancement. In all of these areas, we can have confidence when we give and when we work together that we share in common certain beliefs. So in our relationship, we can get close to one another because of what we share in our common belief. Notice one other value. You'll find it in verse 12. And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. And this is resistance. We're in a spiritual warfare. 2 Corinthians 10:4 in the King James says that our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty toward God to the pulling down of strongholds. And then it talks about how that we are to submit our minds to the Lordship of Christ in verse 5. We as individuals are in a spiritual warfare, but we as the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ are in a spiritual warfare, and we must provide resistance to that force of evil that is against us. We fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. We do not need to be fighting against one another. We stand for Jesus best when we stand with others. Others give us strength in this resistance. So it is that we are to be involved in that spiritual warfare. Solomon said friendship was vital in life. Jesus is our best friend. And on an individual, personal basis, He gave His life for each of us that we might know forgiveness of our sins through His blood. Through the power of His resurrection, experience eternal life and have a relationship with the Father. Some of the old interpreters of this passage says in verse 12 that a threefold cord, that the third part of the rope is the Lord Jesus Himself. And truly He is the one who binds us together. We have individual fellowship based one-on-one under the blood of Jesus Christ. You can be a strand, you can be a cord, you can be part of the rope in Southern Baptist life. Yesterday, there were two postings on social media. One was by Russell Moore. Let me read you an excerpt of what he said. I also commit to work together for our denomination's cooperative consensus. When I look out across our denomination, we have too much at stake and too much for which to be grateful to be divided. In a totally unrelated post earlier yesterday, Ronnie Floyd, former pastor of president of the Southern Baptist Convention, said, quote, pastors in their 20s, 30s, and 40s will determine what the next generation will do in funding the work of God as Southern Baptists. He was talking primarily about the cooperative program. Now, probably you've not heard anything about any dust-up in the Southern Baptist Convention. But what we have, definitely, is much more in common than we have apart. And our heart and our soul is that we are to be together. And it's up to you, the 20-somethings, the 30-somethings, and maybe some of you students, 40-somethings. And you are the ones that are the future now. It's not next generation. It's now that you're the leaders. And you must take that ownership in Southern Baptist life. So let's go on mission together. Let's give together through the cooperative program. Let's stay together to advance the kingdom of God together for God's glory. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the wonderful people gathered in this room. I pray your blessings upon them and their lives, their ministries, their families. And most importantly, help us to see that we need you, Lord Jesus, as our closest friend who sticks closer than a brother. And that we might see that we need one another in personal ministry, in collective ministry, in congregational ministry. And Lord, help us to be faithful to you to accomplish what you've set before us, that you might receive all the glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.